Hey, yes, we are live. Oh, now I can hear myself. Thanks very much. That's excellent. All right. It is Friday morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. And if you've missed any of our other shows, you are missing out. The Bounce Show yesterday afternoon, a slam dunk. Any sports fan in the country would be an idiot to be missing it.
Well said.
And by the way, another show that you should be watching is The Shady Podcast. Mm-hmm. It's also on the YouTubes and available on podcast. And Warris just tweeted about Biden. He said, it's getting worse. Imagine what he'll be saying by month end. His brain is melting. This guy is going to be revealing secrets soon that he's not supposed to by mistake. Like, Michelle is a man. Big Mike is real. That's happening with Warris right now on the internet. So don't miss any of it. Big Mike.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's all happening.
Because that is the Democrats' house of cards. It's all propped up by Big Mike's schlong.
Look at all these stupid toys. These are just a small selection of the things that we have in our office here. I have in my office. It's all my fault. Now we have to do is add the Hawk Tour girl.
I've got the scrotum guy.
No, it's not a scrotum. That's Dobby from Harry Potter, the scrotum guy.
I don't have a childhood.
What shows are you watching?
Well, I mean, Gareth, come on. This is what I'm looking at here. That is a scrotum.
All right. Well, I mean, we try to keep it interesting. What the hell? So many things to get into before we meet a guy who was actually, he was almost eaten by a shark. How's that, huh? He's going to pop in. His name is Caleb Swanepoel. He's going to join us in a short while. He's a shark attack survivor. And he actually hobbled in here just now to say hello to everybody. Very impressive guy. Impressive story, too. We'll find out all about that in a short while.
He's still surfing.
Oh, yeah. No, he's very impressive.
Still, I mean, he's a very active athlete.
He does more than me, and I have two legs. So
he's still surfing.
Yeah. This is why it's going to be fun to talk to him. Okay, so a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. Yesterday during the filming of On the Bounce Show, Marvin, who's in charge of all the production here, he was walking around. Have you got that picture of him? He looked like the Emperor from Star Wars. He was looking very, very suspect, like a villain. I mean, pretty much, look at that. That is Marvin. Now, if you walked into our studio and saw him, you would think I'm about to be knifed, right?
Hey, man. Hey, and he even has like a scar right on his neck. So, listen.
Simpiwe, you have no room to talk. Your show has been talking about how he has erectile dysfunction.
Yes. Every other week. Justice for Marvin.
You have much to apologize for.
That's the face of a guy who's being taken through the most.
Poor Marvin. He doesn't deserve this. He works very hard.
Yeah, that's why he looks so down. He keeps telling about erectile dysfunction.
He explains it was just because he was cold that he was dressed like that.
It is. It's freezing. I know we've mentioned it a few times in the show. It is so cold when we do our show. I think it's become a running joke with the production people.
We try to keep the studio at Arctic temperatures just so that everybody knows they mustn't fuck around.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I mean, the technical reasons because of the 4K camera is not melting, but
that's true.
It's ridiculous.
Now, here's something really terrifying. This is called a gavial. It's a kind of crocodile that you find. I think it's in South America. Okay. It's not a member of the Spanish team that Ben was talking about earlier on. A gavial. But look at how this thing disguises itself as a rock. Play that clip. Watch this. It's horrifying. Yeah. Look at that. You'd think
that's rock. Someone's pool.
Mm-hmm. Watch this. Watch. Meanwhile.
Oh, gosh. That's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Right? Pretty scary.
Oh, that's not someone's pool. That must be a zoo.
That's a horrible looking animal. That's a scary looking animal.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we have our own problems in this country, and there are many of them, but we don't have those.
Stay on dry land, y'all.
Stay on dry land.
Well, you know, we should start a rumor that those actually do exist in Cape Town because that place is underwater. There's water everywhere.
Sheesh.
Watch out for the gavials.
Apparently, it was raining so hard in Cape Town this week, they've closed the schools.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, not everyone's got a boat, so I mean, it makes sense. Like, there's this golf course I played at as a kid, Rondebosch Golf Course. And they've got these big canals.
Yes.
And I played there mostly through winters for the whole time, my school career. Let's call it 5-6 years. And the highest we saw the water was maybe ankle height. And the canal's like the size of the ceiling.
Yeah.
Now the water is, you can't see the canal. It's just a floodplain. It's like 100 times more than anything has ever been happening in winter.
That's horrific. Sounds very bad.
But I always do laugh when the Cape Townians have the most horrific weather and trees falling down, all this kind of stuff, because they are so smug for most of the year about,
yeah,
look at our mountains and this and yeah, that. It's like, yeah, cool. You guys got tornadoes now as well.
It's, you know where it's safe from the evils of global warming and climate change, because of course that's what they're going to say it is.
Although my mother made a very good point. She said, with all the hysteria that goes around on the WhatsApp groups going, oh my God, she said, yeah, it was like that in the 70s when we came to the country. Because everything swings in roundabouts.
Yeah, of course. But nobody wants to remember that far back. So instead they get hysterical and it gets them attention. Let's talk about white slang and black slang, Simpiwe.
Let's go!
So Simpiwe is going to help us understand a couple of the differences here, and it'll hopefully make some of us a little bit wiser to what's going on.
Just a first question, would hok tua be black slang or white slang?
At this moment in time, I don't know.
But I mean, like, has this only been the whites who have ever gone hok tua?
At this moment in time.
I'm pretty sure it's not just the whites who've been doing that sound, but
I guess you can ask Big Mike. I mean, be a good reference point for this.
Big Mike.
Wow.
I got to get one of these with Big Mike.
Okay, so apparently, right, black slang is just white slang in reverse.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, I'm going to say some of the...
See, we're so interconnected, man.
We're all one happy family.
So I'm going to start with white slang and then say the black slang afterwards. Go. I'm up for it. I'm down.
Okay.
That's the black slang for it.
So if white people say I'm up for it, that means they're keen to do it.
Yes, and then...
If black people say I'm down, that means I'm... Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Wow, she looks really good. Black slang. Wow, she bad.
I see.
That's cool. Black slang. That's hot.
Yes.
That was real smooth, bro. Black slang. Hey, that's tough. Hey, let's roll. Black slang. Let's bounce.
Right.
Oh, heavens no. Black slang. Oh, hell no.
Who figured this out? This is brilliant. It's been staring us in the face the whole time.
It gets better. That's genius. Black slang. Yo, that's crazy.
Right.
You better not. Black slang. I wish you would. Say no more. Black slang. Say less. It's been a while. Black slang. It's been a minute.
Right.
Is that really black slang? I thought that was Irish people.
Look, potato. Slang in general is the Irish people. And you say potato. I mean, that's really all the Irish have is potato, potato.
You know? Okay, we have a few.
By the way, have you ever met anyone who says potato?
No.
Honestly, no one says fucking potato.
Tomato?
Can we just throw that stupid saying into the trash heap? Because I've never met anyone who says potato. Ever. Ever.
I feel like I want to use that today somewhere.
People go, potato, potato. No, no one says potato. It's not a thing.
I want to get some sweet potato. That sounds like black slang for somebody else.
You know what I feel like for supper tonight? I feel like some potato. No one ever said that. No one. There isn't even an accent that calls it potato.
Potato. Okay. Let me get through like the rest of the slangs.
We digress.
Please. Okay, so white slang, deal. Black slang, bet. White slang, shut up. Black slang, keep talking.
Ah, because they want to fight more.
Right.
You're right.
Say something like that one, keep talking.
That's what I'm picking up there.
If a white guy goes, shut up, it means he wants to fight with you. If a black guy goes, talk more.
No, I think we're getting at here is the white person wants to conclude this fracas, whereas the black person wants to escalate it to fisticuffs.
Probably.
Okay. Swing by. Black slang, pull up.
Uh-huh.
You got the right one, buddy. Black slang, I ain't the one. The last three. Something is off with them. Black slang, yo, they on one.
I haven't heard that, but okay.
Hey, let's go. Black slang, we gone. And last one, he's a cool cat. Black slang, that's my dog.
Right. Spot on. I mean, this is actually fascinating because it shows you how the language has evolved almost to be the opposite when it comes to the slang. I think that's fascinating. I read a book once about how so much of the way that African Americans speak comes from Scottish and Irish immigrants to America in the early days of the South, and how that was adopted by blacks who came to America.
Yes.
So I think that's an interesting new development. Very, very interesting and very cool and good for a Friday, and put it to use. All right?
Absolutely.
I like it.
Now you know what people are saying at all times.
Fantastic. We've made sense. One or two other quick things. Ben has tried to rank the best TV shows of all time, which is an impossible task.
I admire you
for even trying, because that is massive.
I didn't do it. Someone, the internet did it.
Okay. Oh. That internet machine.
The internet. Right. There was this thing that I found, and it's a chart, so I don't know if we're going to pull it up on screen here.
Have you got a picture? Whoa.
Whoa, okay.
So as you can see, they're Breaking Holy Bad, shit. Which everyone knows is the greatest show of all time, So what they've done is that they've taken all the sort of aggregators of opinion and some sort of metrics. So you got Rotten Tomatoes, you got IMDb, whatever it's called. And then you've got like actual dickheads on the internet that go, I thought this was crap, because obviously they want to be controversial.
Sure.
And even then, so Breaking Bad is the best. Game of Thrones, before it started getting into all those stupid runoff shows.
Remember last week you arrived on the show. Put that back in a second, but let me just tell the story. So after Ben said that we all had to watch because there was an outrage about the erect penis.
Well, I didn't necessarily say you must watch it. I just said there was outrage.
Well, I watched it.
I think it was up to you to take it further.
So I caught up. Yeah, get rid of that picture. So I caught up on it, eventually watched all three of the episodes that I hadn't seen. Remember, I told you I watched episode one. And so episode two, but slow, no dragons, no fights.
Okay. That's why they needed a cock.
Episode three. So that you said it was an erect penis. The guy, he was not erect.
It was flaccid.
It was not erect.
What a letdown.
I'm sorry. I think that they've misled you. If you watch just for that, and I feel sorry for you if you watch just for that, because it was not what they promised.
So you were disappointed, Garrett.
There you were. Not as advertised.
So there you were watching episode three, like the Titanic towards the iceberg.
And it turned out to be nothing.
Were you like, is this the scene?
And, you know,
is this when it happened?
So I was kind of not watching. You know how you're sort of doing something else while you're watching, and you're on your phone, and you're like, let me see what I'm doing. And then I kept on like, oh, there's some nudity. No, it's not. Okay, it's not the right time. Okay. Carry on. I'm like sending a tweet, and I'm like looking up some stuff for the show. And maybe this is it. And then the guy turns around, and there's all this noise that was made on the show here, which is the only reason I knew it existed. But it wasn't. It was a semi at best.
Well,
but you know, this is the standard.
Okay.
Like if you expect TV to deliver a 9 out of 10, it delivers a 6. Okay. And then the fourth episode.
Well, I'm glad you endured that for us. I was never going to watch it.
The fourth episode, much, much more compelling. Lots of dragons. Lots
I
of
thought
killing.
You were going to tell us more,
lots
but
of
like
drama. Like, definitely episode four, worth it. Episode three, you don't have to watch that one. And episode two, absolutely nothing. Not even
episode
cock or
three,
dragons.
Episode three, a bit limp, huh?
No cock, no dragons, nothing.
Not
no
even
point.
A titty.
Not even no titty. No nothing. No titty. No cock. No dragons. What's happened to this show? It's lost it.
You know, like when you used to watch shows, it would be PG-16, and there would be like SL, and it would be like watching that.
Yeah.
It should not be a new thing. They should have like emojis, like
dragons,
cock, titties, dragon. You can have them all run up there.
Okay, let's go back to your thing.
Okay, so cool. Distracted. Right. So the reason, I mean, all these lists are impossible. It's like, who's the greatest Springbok 15 of all time?
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the top there, Breaking Bad. So there's a variety of ways it's got to this point, from like critics to online reviews, all these kind of things. So Breaking Bad is generally seen as the greatest TV show of all time. Mm-hmm. Then Game of Thrones, before it got a bit mental. I think Game of Thrones, up until that final episode, probably was up there in the top five.
Right.
Then there's Chernobyl.
I'm so impressed that's in there, because it came up. I was talking to someone over the weekend that basically Gauteng looks like Chernobyl in winter. Right. I mean,
so someone who doesn't live here. I will not take those comments from these people.
It's a very ugly place in
it's
winter.
It's not beautiful Gauteng. In winter, but it's
not beautiful. It looks like Chernobyl in winter. What a great show. I mean,
well, it was all propaganda against nuclear.
Yeah, but no, I don't agree. I think it was propaganda against communists, which I'm all in favor of.
And nuclear.
But I thought it was a great show, like good acting.
It was. It was particularly well done.
You felt like you were in the 80s in Russia.
Yes.
It was very good. I'm glad it's up there. So that gives, to me, that gives this list a lot of cred.
Can we get the list back up there? I just want to touch on a couple of things before we take it back.
What was the worst show according to this list?
Well, I mean, it's only the top 50 here.
Okay.
So we don't have to go down that far. So yeah, Chernobyl, these are all big things. Sopranos, Band of Brothers, The Wire, Better Call Saul, Stranger Things, Sherlock, Peaky Blinders, The Twilight. This is a good eye tester. Huh? Wow. The Twilight Zone.
I mean, if you can read this from the distance Ben is at, you have good eyes. Ben should be flying planes.
Yes. And then it gets down to, and we'll stop right there at number 15, Friends. Okay, so
Friends made it.
Made it. It's one of the greatest shows of all time. They're still one of the best comedies of all time. And the writing on that show is at the next level. But another reason I want to bring this up is that that show also tanks a bit because of one character who then Ross is Ross. The character that tanks Friends the most and is also the biggest snapshot of where the world went wrong is Monica.
Why?
Because she drives her husband into becoming this absolute alpha simp, who ultimately in real life dies being a simp and a drug addict. And everything about her is wrong with what the 90s were great, and then it monikered
into the early 2000s. How long did it take you to get this take? Like
a couple weeks ago. So everything was great with the show, and like TV shows in general, the 90s. It hit the 2000s, and all of a sudden it was like women are just dreadful monsters. You just restrict, control, and do all of these things on TV. So you must go through these lists because they're all wonderful snapshots of some part of time. And Friends, in the latter stages, amazing. If you want to see how things have really gone wrong.
Okay.
The Monica character.
The Monica theory with Ben this morning, that caught me off guard.
Because then Chandler Bing became the first simp of TV.
And he used to be quite cool.
He was funny. He was thin. Yeah. And then he became fat and he became a horrible simp.
Yeah, okay.
I
think maybe we're attaching a little too much importance to Monica here. But let's call it the Monica theory, and maybe some other people want to embellish on it.
But this is why these lists are so great, because you go through it and every show is great for a certain reason. And Friends was amazing. It was like 10 seasons. It was hugely funny. It's still like some of the best taglines ever. I mean, I watch an episode of that every single day of my life. It's so funny. It's just so good.
That Don Kitty agreeing with you, Monica was neurotic. That 70s show is the true Friends. Let's go, Michael. That's really Richard.
Okay.
In the comments, Azalea says, Suits ain't that good. No, Boston Legal was way better.
I agree with that. Yeah. Suits also, again, huge simpy show.
Am I the odd one out? Like, I love Suits.
Yeah, well.
That's fine. You're a woman. You're entitled to like these things. It's not a good show. It's just fluff. It's fluff and bollocks.
Another good show is Mr. Robot, says Bitcoin Boot.
Yeah, that was pretty
Ozark,
good.
Ozark, says Lindy Dooley.
Okay. True.
Good one. There was a proper erect penis on the Jeff Daniels crappy Netflix series, A Man in Full. Well, I'm not doing that homework for you. Really, like, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds absolutely horrific.
Solid title,
and frankly, though, if you after cock, there's probably better places to find it than in a Jeff Daniels Netflix series called A Man in Full.
Sure.
I mean, you're really scraping the barrel if you're looking for it there.
That's a tough Friday night in your life.
Clint from the Vault. Our audience know all about cock in movies and TV series. Clint from the Vault says The Boys is full of phalli, if that's your thing.
Sure. Okay. Is that a movie or is that a club in Furinacum?
Side-eyeing what people watch now.
Carl, being disparaging about me, says all it took to get Gareth back into Game of Thrones was an erect penis. It was this show, but okay, if that's what you want to believe, spread the word. I'm okay with whatever you want to say about me. I've heard worse. It's all good. Serious question: how can I win the Batman Funko Pop at? Where is that in front of me?
Yeah. Do these have names? Funko Pops.
Yeah, you can't. Yes. You can't win it. These things. These are very important to the seriousness of our office. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is what we have to do.
This is what you tap when you call HR.
JP, I'm pretty sure if they ask nice, if you ask nicely, they'll get scrotum guy will probably be on the easy list. I think he'll might get a bit of a flick.
Scrotum guy. I need to share that list with my wife, says really Richard. I can't do another episode of Lady Boys on Amazon.
Oh, it also seems like we're still in the cock conversation.
Beaver says True Blood. What about that as a show?
That was good. And that was like when all those angsty vampires.
What was her name again? Sookie Stackhouse. Remember? Wow. Sookie Stackhouse. Okay. The chick from True Blood.
I'm pretty sure
that was her name.
But out of all the sort of like wishy-washy vampire-y things, that was at least a proper show.
Someone says, please check Ben's scrotum. Why? Because it looks like Dobby.
Dobby looks like his shaves. Guys, it's not a stretch. I mean,
it's really, it's definitely not stretched. It's quite wrinkly, actually.
It's not a stretch to think that that could be a...
Anyone remember Dexter?
Yeah, yes. Also a great show.
Better Call Saul has come up.
That's up there in this list. Right.
Very good. And someone saying, yes, absolutely. Sookie Stackhouse, that was her name. Did X-Files make that list, Ben? Because that was a great show in its time.
Yeah, it probably would have been. The list has been taken away. I haven't memorized it.
But Ben, you know what I'm disappointed by is I don't see a lot of like 80s shows. Thank that you. We were big fans of when we were kids.
No, because what it comes down to is just...
Pee-wee, you wouldn't know, but I mean like Magnum, yeah, and MacGyver.
No, completely. But
what I know MacGyver.
The A-Team, yeah, and Airwolf.
No, they're amazing. But you know? I think when these lists get put together, because of the ranking metrics, it's critical mass, right?
Yeah. So no one watches those
So
anymore.
They wouldn't have got the eyeballs.
Sure.
And they would have been on just like very small network TV. Yeah. Whereas Breaking Bad and all these other things... They make all the money, and the production is so big because they're so stretched across.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like Curb Your Enthusiasm should be on there too, and maybe it was. Yellowstone? That someone's asking about Yellowstone?
Also, amazing show, and they've got good spin-offs as well.
Yeah, I haven't watched that either. You know, I still haven't watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I know. It's embarrassing. That's why I wanted to bring this up.
Don't feel bad.
I'll get there eventually.
No, but the thing is, together.
Like, it's too late now. You can't watch Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is a big investment. It really is. It's like The Walking Dead, but only there's a purpose to it.
But isn't it the kind of show I could watch like in December over the holidays?
Yeah.
But then it's the whole December.
That's fine.
Well, then I could stretch it out, maybe even into January, and make it a proper, like, then it's a commitment.
Yeah, I guess.
It's the first commitment I've made.
I just think it's one of those things. Late, it's right? One of those things where if you watch it in isolation, I'm worried that it might be too much of a prospect to get through. Like, you know, when you watch it, the other people you know also watch it because of the time, and it's topical, because these shows need to be topical as well.
Yeah.
Because then that keeps you in it. Like if Game of Thrones, you watch that in isolation, you'd be so bored. But because other people were talking about it, and a cock here and a dragon there and a titty here, then you're like, yeah, kind of into it. So then you but if you only by yourself, it's like running a marathon by yourself.
Okay. Fair enough.
But that's how they train, though. They run by themselves just to do the big one.
Okay, well, look, if you're an elite TV watcher, then cool. Have a crack. Go for it.
TV watcher. Breaking Bad's not that great, says JP. He's always a critic. It's too slow. Maybe needed to watch it when there was hype. I think that's what Ben's saying.
Okay, so you're agreeing with me to a certain extent, yeah.
Okay.
Lee says, what about Shameless? That was a good show when it was on.
That was a rotten show, huh? Wow.
I never enjoyed that show.
No, didn't
that
like
show
it.
Made me feel dirty. No.
As and like it was very depressing.
They lived up to the name. It was very Shameless.
But there was the UK version and the American version, because sometimes that happens with the shows.
Yeah.
Which and of I course, hate, actually.
Of course, the UK version was even grimmer because they actually really had common people.
Yes.
American version had good actors.
Yeah, that's true.
Did The Office make it on the list?
Now, speaking of common people. Don't know, because they keep taking the list away.
Really?
Let's see. We'll be able to spot The Office if it's on that list. Put it back up. There we go. The Office. I don't see it.
It's no. Yeah. What, 53?
53?
Yes.
Sure, all the way down at 53?
Only.
Wow. Okay, and no, 17.
It's 17, The Office. Office is seen as the 17th greatest show of all time.
Okay, yeah, there it is. Sorry, missed that.
Which is slightly above Succession and Battlestar Galactica.
Hey, I mean, Succession I get, but... Battlestar Galactica, I can't say I ever watched.
Well, all those people that like a bit of sci-fi.
Okay, so there is a I mean, that is amazing. You see, this is where the internet and AI is particularly useful. It just ranks all these things for us. You don't have to do any maths.
Mm.
The machines will do it for you. The machines are going to do it for you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to terminate you. Beautiful. That's where we'll end it with you this morning, Ben.
All right. Guys, thank you. It's been a wonderful week.
Excellent. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you on Friday next week. There goes Ben.
Don't hurt yourself now.
Wish him well. All right. Let us welcome our guest. Speaking of the Terminator, this guy was almost terminated by a shark.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing story. And Caleb is here to tell us the story. He is a shark attack survivor, a storyteller, and an athlete. And he said, lying in my hospital bed in 2015 after that attack, I would never have imagined swimming with sharks in the ocean again.
I would never.
And yet here I am, he said. And we've got a couple of pics of all of that. But it's really cool to have him here this morning. And apparently he's been doing a ton of interviews because everybody's interested in his story. And I can completely understand why. Wild Trust has just released a show called Caleb Beyond the Bite, a short film which is following award-winning actor, para-athlete, and shark bite survivor Caleb Swanepoel and his relationship with the ocean in hopes of reconnecting with his experience and better understanding the animal that changed his life. This short film follows Caleb as he contemplates swimming in the ocean with sharks at Aliwal Shoal in KZN for the first time since he lost his leg to a shark in 2015. Dude, what a story, dude.
Morning, guys.
God damn.
Morning.
Look at this.
Are you nice okay? To see you.
I'm still alive. I mean, I'm struggling to feel my right foot, but otherwise.
You don't have a right foot.
I don't have a right
put,
foot.
Put your leg up there. Let them have a look. Show them.
I can do my little leg trick.
Yeah, yeah, let's go.
That's what I was. That's what I was born for. Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
God damn it. Look at that.
Yay.
Wow.
This is it's
you can do a 360.
It's funny, but also it's the way I change my shoes. So this is called the rotation adapter.
Yeah.
And it allows me to put my shoes on, my Crocs.
That's amazing.
Not just Crocs, but jeans. If you think about it, you don't have your knee joint. You can't bend your leg up. You can't move it around. So
sure.
All right.
Rotation adapter.
All the obviously and stupidly unkind and rude questions that people must ask you all the time must get really, really annoying. But I think we'll probably end up asking some of them as well anyway. So, I mean, let's just go back and take us back to 2015 and what happened to you, because this is like Simpiwe's worst fear. I mentioned to her earlier.
Is the reason why I'm on dry land right now?
She does not like to swim, especially not in the sea. And my brother's terrified of sharks. I know loads of people who just won't go near the ocean. We hear these stories, and they're rare. And let's just say, for the sake of sharks, because they are an endangered species, and they're beautiful animals, they're prehistoric killers.
Yeah.
They're just doing what sharks do. But what happened to you?
So 9 years ago, 2015, 27th of June, I was a first-year varsity student studying theater at the time. And someone had recommended Buffalo Bay to us, which is in the Western Cape, very close to Knysna. Everyone thinks shark attack, must have been a surfer. And I wasn't a surfer. I just enjoyed the ocean, body surfed. And my brothers arrived from Cape Town on the 27th of June and decided, okay, we're going to go body surf where the surfers were that morning, which is, let's say, 50, 60 meters out, out to sea.
And my
mom,
far out,
yeah, my mom, my sisters were at the beach house. My brother's girlfriends were there. The dog was there. The whole family was there besides my dad. He was busy working, busy watching us catch waves. So we swam out with wetsuits and fins and we couldn't stand. We swam out, you know, beyond the sort of sand break where the waves were busy forming. And we caught quite a few waves. We were in the water for about 45 minutes or so. Also, my perception of time is really warped from this event because it was quite traumatic. And we had caught quite a few waves. We could wave to my mom and my sisters and we were going to come in for lunch. It was like midday, beautiful conditions. We'd had dolphin sightings the whole week. I'd swam the whole week as well. So it wasn't like my first time going into this ocean. And as I came over the crest of one of the waves, you know, you're body surfing, you the water's, you know, at this level, you're not on a surfboard. You can't really sight for waves easily. So you kind of make your way over the sort of ebbs and flows of
you
the
paddle.
Tide. Yeah, you paddle. And as I swam over one of the sort of waves forming, I saw great whites on the wave that we were probably going to catch. And, you know, not a lot goes through your mind when you see something like a great white so close to you in the ocean. You don't have a surfboard. You don't have anything to protect you. I'm not a diver. I'm not someone who's swum with sharks before. So my first instinct was get out. I turned to my brothers. I said, there's a shark. Maybe started swimming towards the beach, and I had this feeling in the back of my mind, like that sixth sense feeling. It's a real feeling that something was going to happen. And next thing I knew, something slammed into me, launched me out of the water pretty much, and the shark had my right leg, like a vice-like grip, disconnected from my body completely. So I saw the whole shark attack happening from above, and I remember thinking, I'm definitely dreaming, because first year theater, you're doing movements and voice and all kinds of strange things with your body. And I was waiting for, you're going to make a joke there, but didn't it?
I'm wrapped in horror.
But, you know, I remember thinking this is a dream because I need my body for acting and I'm going to be, you know, Hugh Jackman's son in a film one day. And it was happening. I got pulled back into the attack, got pulled underwater. And I remember trying to hit the shark off my leg. And a shark is such a powerful creature and animal. There was no ways I was going to get this thing off my leg. Pulled me under the water, and I had a moment where I just gave in. I actually was expecting, I'm going to see a white light. You know,
you're going to be eaten.
Yeah, I'm going to be eaten. But this is my time. Like, this is it. I'm gone. So it was quite. There was a moment of peace in a way. I know it sounds quite strange, and I talk about, you know, crossing the void and coming back. So a part of me, I believe, died, like gone, like ready to go. And then something disconnected and my right leg was taken off above the knee, which means that your femoral artery is then severed and open. So I had 2 minutes to live. The miracle that happened that day was I bobbed up like a cork. My femoral artery, I didn't know this at the time, went into spasm, which meant that that leg on my body didn't bleed out. So I didn't bleed out in the water. And my younger brother, who was sharing a pair of fins with me, Sandy, turned around, saw what was happening, and some miracle made him swim back to me. And if he hadn't swum back to me, I'm alive because my family was there that day. My brother swam back to me and pulled me out of the water. And while he was pulling me out of the water, first he got to me and I said to him, how bad is it? And he looked down and he saw my leg was gone. And he said, it's just a scratch. You're going to be fine. And I think it's, even though that sounds quite funny, he calmed me down. He calmed me down. We started swimming towards the beach and he turned around and he saw this fin was coming back towards us. So he stopped us and the shark had come back. Shark circled us. My brother tried to scare it off. So it bit into my brother's fin and then bit into my left leg, either the first bite or the second bite, but I have a laceration on my left leg. So I nearly lost my left leg as well.
Oh my God.
And we were so far in at that stage that a wave broke on us.
You tasted very nice, I'm sure.
And, you know, in like a very brave heart moment, my mom, like you can imagine like slow motion, my mom running into the water, very movie-esque kind of scene. My brother hands me over to my mother. I pass out. I wake up on the beach after all this white noise around me and my family's around me. And they're just telling me to stay, you know, keep my eyes open, stay awake. I had my wetsuit on and I couldn't breathe. I thought my mom's hand was on my chest. And I said, just guys, cut my wetsuit open. Please cut my wetsuit open. So they cut my wetsuit open. I was able to breathe. And from there, I mean, to fast forward 45 minutes on the beach, the National Sea Rescue Institute, who are volunteer individuals from the NISNA NSRI team, they came, notified a chopper, and they picked me up in the parking lot, and I was airlifted to hospital. And I didn't feel any pain with the initial bite. So there was no pain until I was lying on the beach. And I thought my glutes, my ass had been bitten, actually, because I felt this searing pain right up my right side. I didn't know I'd lost my leg. Yeah. But I thought obviously something had happened, and I didn't even feel the left leg. And the left bite went all the way to the kneecap. So it shows you what happens when your body
is amazing. Hey,
in fight or flight mode.
Yeah, you know? Just the way you described how you don't really think when these things happen, you just go into your body takes over.
Yeah,
it's not your mind anymore.
And I think that
kind of makes you wonder who you really are. Are you in your head? Are you in your body? Is there something else? And that idea that you crossed over, that fascinates me. That you at some point you just gave up. You were like. And it wasn't like giving up. You were at peace.
No.
You were like, if this is the end, this is the end.
Yeah. But it's taken me a few years to start formulating sentences and thoughts around that things moment. I've experienced in the ocean. So day one of being an amputee, everything is so fresh. A, you medicated, you know, 10 out of 10. You are in hospital and there's all this new stuff that's about to start happening. So you're quite distracted. I remember I was interviewed in hospital, which maybe wasn't the best decision at the time. But you've kind of caught up in this
frenzy.
Frenzy, and also so many people heard about the story on the news and knew my family. I come from a very small town in the Karoo called Prince Albert, which has great olive oil and great people.
Yeah.
amongst many other things. But you know, so many people were asking, like, am I okay?
Yeah.
People writing in. So my family created a Facebook page which was the start of my Facebook page. But they created a Facebook page just to inform everyone that I am okay, I'm alive. Some family members found out through News 24. Because obviously my family's not going to, you know, WhatsApp everyone and tell them.
No, they're busy dealing with the problem.
Yeah. And then you've got news reporters and you've got people knocking on your door. But adjacent to all the frenzy, extreme, incredible care from medical professionals. And I always speak about my family. If my family weren't there on the day.
Oh my God, yeah.
My sister was sitting next to my mom and she said, they were watching us catch waves. My mom was joking, saying, I'll never take you that far out to body surf, but I will teach you. And my sister saw this black back in the water. And then they saw three of us swimming away and they just saw the ocean turn red. So, you know, for all the moms out there.
Worst nightmare.
Yeah, I'm just sending mothers huge love. Oh, all parents, actually.
She must have aged a year in 5 seconds.
I think, you know, my mom stayed so calm. I think everything hit my family afterwards, but I think the family was just, they just went like this.
Did they ever kill the shark and get your leg back?
No, so that was never the plan. I don't think it would ever be.
That would be my first, I would want to kill the shark and get my leg back.
But I remember asking my mom on the beach, my mom told me the story afterwards, because obviously with all the shock, you forget a lot of stuff.
Of course.
I asked them, you know, what happened? And my mom said to me, look, the shark ate your leg. You know, my mom calls me Tickies. That's my nickname. Only my mom and dad call me Tickies. So this is not a permission slip for everyone to call me Tickies. Right. But my mom said, you know, Tickies, the shark ate your leg. And I said, that can't we go find it? Can't we get it back? And it's quite endearing. But I, at the time I was like, well, if my leg's washed up on the beach, maybe we can find it. Maybe we can reattach it. I'm actually glad my leg never washed up, because a lot of times, people's limbs wash up, and they wash up like further down, like the swell pushes the leg and
really
it rocks up on someone's, you know, bathing day on a Sunday morning. So we don't want that for anyone. But also that part of me, in a way, like there's a connection with the ocean, right? There's a connection. Yeah. I think everything that happens in life, we get to find meaning from it if we choose to. And I think that there's a connection I have with the shark that's gone on to do other things, and every little thing it touches, every little thing I touch, and vice versa. So
Carl says, have you spoken to the shark since the incident?
I have not, Carl. If you have the shark's number, please let me know, DM me. But yeah, I think the shark did not apologize, but it's not the shark's place to apologize. I think
all right, no more comments. Let me ask you, because the most amazing thing about this is what's happened to you since then. Yes. I mean, you know, before then, you know, you were studying drama, and you were like a lot of other South Africans whose life just seemed pretty damn cool. I mean, you're going on holiday with the family and all this kind of thing. But when you come to terms with the fact that now you don't have this leg anymore and you've survived a shark attack, first of all, surviving, thank God, right? Because so many people don't. And you've rebuilt your life. I mean, you're doing amazing stuff.
Yeah, I think the human psyche, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. So I think I'm quite hard on myself. So I'll go like, I'm here today, but I'm quite hard. And I'll go like, I should be doing more. I should be doing, you know, other things. And I'm a typical Pisces. I'm emotional and give myself a hard time. But I think it is good to reflect and it is good to look back. And I was a 20-year-old boy studying theater and very ambivalent to everything around me, I guess. And the world of disability, the world of
don't realize, hey,
like it's until it hits you, it's not, it wasn't relative. It was, you know, I knew about one or two famous para athletes and that was it. And I knew that the Paralympics happens after the Olympics. Now I have a disability. Now I am differently abled. Now I am, you know, I have all these other things that have happened, but I think it's changed my perception about a lot of things. And it is cool to take a moment to be grateful to still be alive, because the statistics were fully against me.
I mean, isn't it amazing that your femoral artery spasmed and you didn't lose blood at the rate that most people would have? And the fact that these NSRI guys were there, that your family was there.
My brother swam back. If Sandy hadn't swum back, I would have either drowned or been bitten fatally for the second time, I think. And it was a juvenile shark. So, you know, the shark was in its own territory. I was swimming
teenager.
Away. A teenage shark, and powerful, strong, you know, investigating, curious.
So has this, because this would put the fear of God into me, and most of this movie is about going back into the ocean.
Yeah.
How did you get your head right before you did that? Because it couldn't have been easy, man. I mean, we can make jokes, and we can even you are making jokes about it now, but yeah. That must have been a big step, literally and figuratively.
It is a big step. Every day is a big step. Whether it was a year ago or nine years later, I still sometimes feel very fresh. Feels like it happened just the other day sometimes. Yeah. And I think I've been very grateful that there's been amazing support. So other survivors actually reached out to me and said, look, first of all, you're not a victim. You're a survivor. So that mindset shift has to be there. Otherwise, I'm going to feel sorry for myself for the rest of my life. And I'm going to have a lot of bitterness. And I'm never going to do things. I'm never going to try new things. So, you know, that was the first thing, is trying to have a bit of a survivor mindset. And then, you know, with the support of family and friends, going back, the first thing that I did was, as soon as my stitches were out, I got back into the sea.
Why?
Because, you know, sure. Otherwise this thing builds up in the back of your mind and it becomes way bigger than it actually is. The chances of it happening again are very, very low. And, you know, you take more precautions as a result of being a survivor. But, you know, making this film and going back, and this is the first time I really reconnected with sharks. It was never something that happened before my attack. So to do it in a way where I was with an awesome team that made me feel comfortable and made me feel that I could trust the process. And then, you know, you kind of have to let the chips land and let them fall where they fall. I think there's a lot of power in that.
You've taken up a lot of other new and exciting things. And I mean, this film is one of those things which brings together both your experience and the fact that you wanted to end up doing film. But correct. Are there any things that you've had to kind of, okay, well, that's a dream that's not going to happen?
So many, but I think the brain's learns to adapt and shift and find other new channels. But I definitely have lots of nostalgia. I mean, in Cape Town, they have the UTCT, for example. I was very into running when I was younger. So being able to like run around Table Mountain, I did the August just before I lost my leg. Sure. So little things like that where you've taken your body for granted, I think, as a young athlete and a young person at any age, actually, if you're able-bodied, I think you don't think about, okay, I'm using my hand for this. I'm using my foot for this. I'm going to go for a run. I wake up in the morning and I put my shoes on and I go. I think now I wake up in the morning, I put my shoe on and then I put my leg on, my liner, then my leg. And then I'm do a couple of adjustments, a little bit of squeaks here and there, you know, spray some oil, like the Tin Man, and then carry on with the day. And I think it's like, there's so many things I do miss, but there's also so many new things that have been brought into my life. Like this opportunity, like you said, you know, being able to make film, to get more involved with the creative process. And also, we all have a story, but not everyone gets to share theirs. And I think I'm grateful to be a storyteller. It's one of the captions on my Instagram that I'm a storyteller. We all storytellers, but yeah.
Well, you got a hell of a story, man. Sure. I mean, some people are storytelling about their bullshit breakfast this morning.
As long as it was high protein and healthy, there we go.
You got a hell of a story here. And the funny thing here too, is that you're not like anti-sharks. You're not running around there like most of us would be, saying these fucking things, I hope they all die out. Instead, you're actually trying to help bring awareness to the plight of sharks. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is like those people, in no small way I make this comparison, who will forgive someone who's done something absolutely horrific. And obviously these are animals, not people. But you've instead of projecting that anger and into bitterness and resentment, you're actually doing something very positive with it, which is tremendous. This is such a show of character.
Well, I appreciate that. And I've realized slowly over time, like, our second breath comes from the ocean, you know, so every second breath we take today comes from the sea. And if you look at the ecosystems in the ocean, sharks are one of the apex predators. I mean, we can argue, like, there's the conversation sharks versus orcas, you know, like, which one do you, the most powerful? And
orcas are doing, they're getting the sharks back for you.
Orcas are out there, but the shark is such an important animal. It's a dinosaur. It's over 400 million years old. So you've got this dinosaur that's been able to adapt and find its way in this crazy world that we live in and still there. We have over 200 species around our coastlines of South Africa, and I think just over 40% of them are endangered in some way. So, you know, those kinds of messages started coming through as I started spending more time in the ocean, as I started meeting more ocean people. And I thought, like, well, how can I, if I don't have a negative perception around sharks, how can I also share a positive perception? You know, it's all very well sitting at home going like, I'm fine. But whether you like it or not, we're all responsible for the ocean. Even if you don't spend time in it, like I said, it's where our second breath comes from. So just knowing that, and knowing that I'm not trying to change the world and trying to, you know, flip the world on its head, but I've realized I can make a difference, you know, even with my story. So
where do you live now, in Joburg?
I've just moved out of Cape Town. So home.
Spirit didn't congratulate on you on surviving a shark attack.
Should we shake on that one?
Yes.
Here we go.
Why did you leave Cape Town, and where have you gone instead?
I've come up to Johannesburg for a project. I'm joining a TV show.
Oh, good.
I can't talk about what its name is yet, but it's very, very exciting to be part of a telenovela. My first time doing a drama series.
Okay, so this is acting.
This is now acting.
Okay, yeah. So you know, it's not like some reality TV show.
No.
Okay. Very cool.
So yeah, I'm here for the next 6 months. I'm very excited about the energy that Joburg has. I know I probably sound like a Joburg novice.
We started this morning's show talking about how Joburg should be treated with more respect. Go ahead.
But huge, huge, awesome energy that I've received from the community of Johannesburgians, I guess, if you can say it that way. And just people, you know, inviting me over, connecting. And these are people that I've met in Cape Town that have moved down from Johannesburg. And this is not an attack on anyone from Cape Town.
Sure.
You can be honest.
They're very sensitive.
I'm actually from the Karoo. So,
they'll get upset anyway, so don't worry about them.
But Johannesburg has a cool energy to it. I did take a couple of wrong routes getting here this morning, even though I was only a kilometer away.
And you drive?
I can drive. Okay. I can't drive a manual, so my mom's vintage Beetle is no longer an option date.
Don't Demarai struggle.
Automatic.
Welcome to auto life.
We can
all
swap cars. And, you know, again, excited to also be showcasing and showing people that even though something happens to you and physically very, 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 very traumatic, you can still do awesome things and do cool things. So I'm really cool that it's really exciting to be representing, you know, differently abled people on screen.
I think it's awesome that you're going to be doing what you always wanted to do.
Nerve-wracking, definitely.
It's exciting, man.
But it's exciting. It's exciting. Very,
okay,
very
so
exciting.
So being a telenovela. Oh, Imperial likes that picture. She's already seen
that's
the
my twin. That's my twin. He has two legs.
He's so cute. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, he's cute. Yeah, he is cute. Hey, good hairline.
So Simpiwe, you're only interested in the one with two legs.
I mean, I'm interested in the one who doesn't want to go back into the ocean.
Just on laughing about the whole amputee and one leg thing. I think humor has been such an amazing healing tool for the process. It doesn't feel like it's taken 9 years, but the one-legged jokes started in hospital, and you know,
straight away. People don't waste any time.
Amputees will tease each other. So I've got a below the knee amputee, so he's got his knee joints, and I'll say, you're not a real amputee.
Yeah,
I don't mean it obviously, but he'll go,
But you like half price, that kind of thing, you know.
Well, look, definitely when it comes to the cost of prosthetics, but I think that the humor has been such a healing thing, also for other people to realize, like, you can ask questions, you can make a joke in good faith, you know. You're not discriminating against me if you, like, let's laugh together, but don't feel like, oh, well, it's the leg, so we can't ask about
this
it, you know.
This drives me crazy, and I'm not even the one without a leg, but I hate the way people patronize anyone with a disability, too. I mean, everybody who's ever listened to any of the shows that we've done, whenever I've had anybody on missing an eye or a limb or something, or they, you know, there's some learning disability, whatever it might be, you got to address the thing and get it out, because after that you can talk like people.
It's the elephants in the room.
And don't you hate it when people are so careful and so scared of upsetting you
that
they don't treat you like a person?
Shame is, and to caption that.
The worst.
I also understand that where it's coming from, that for such a long time, people haven't been exposed to disability because it's been almost hidden in a way. And the more we push back against that and go, like, actually, you know, fuck that.
Yeah.
Let's just put ourselves out there. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see more people in wheelchairs, people that have, you know, people that are amputees, learning disability on billboards.
Sure.
You know, there's a huge movement happening, you know, in other parts of the world.
Well,
where,
let's keep it proportional. We don't want to suddenly have everyone at the, you know, there are no billboards with people.
Okay,
with legs,
yeah, we need some able-bodied people out there.
Yeah, but keep it proportional.
But the perspective that people have when they've come through adversity and they have a different able body, they see spaces differently, they engage with conversations differently. They're not completely alien.
Okay,
but
let me ask you a tough question here because, okay. I mean, on Tinder, you could hide that you have the one leg, right? And then when they meet you, they might be disappointed, or it might be what they're really into. But is dating difficult?
I think a lot of it sits up here in my own mind. So my own insecurities about, oh, is this going to, you know, put someone off? Is this going to be awkward? It has definitely been there when I've put myself out there. Mm-hmm. But I've chosen to not like fully go like, hey, I'm an amputee. So just like, shock warning, just be careful, you know, because
it's not like your profile pictures. Like, your
My profile pictures would probably be my face, but cool. But then I'll have pictures where it'll be me as a person with
sure,
one
sure, sure.
Where,
I mean, that's not the most important thing about you.
Yeah, and where I do it to also push myself a little bit to go like, you know what, if you're so worried about someone looking at you because of one leg, then that's not the person to connect with. So it's a lot of personal growth that I have to do. Often no one's phased, but it's the personal journey where I feel like I feel less than sometimes. So with my leg off, yeah. And this is, I think maybe a lot of amputees will relate to this, and or maybe it's just my own personal journey. But when I have my leg off, sometimes my confidence level isn't always the same as it would be when I'm right. Got my prosthetic on.
Got
because
you.
And I my prosthetic's nicknamed after Logan. I'm making a lot of Wolverine dropping hints here.
Sure.
So one day when Hugh watches this, just so you know, Hugh, I'm coming for you. Okay.
Right.
I love you.
Okay.
I say Hugh like Hugh Jackman, you know.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, sure. Of course.
But when I'm on crutches, I need a bit of assistance, you know, getting into the ocean, hold my crutches sims, and I'm gonna hop in, or carrying groceries, or just chilling around the house. So that's when I sometimes feel less than, and that's my own stuff. That's my own shit that I have to figure out because no one sees me differently. My family doesn't see me differently. Sorry, I do speak a lot.
Did you just look at your watch?
No, that's
impure.
It's fine. My family will be watching this and
like,
saying,
oh my God, no, I'm so tired of this shark attack story. I have so many more things to do.
I was having like a deep moment. I was about, like, tears were about to well up and come out.
Okay, I apologize on behalf of the whole team on the show for Simpiwe looking at her.
I just got a message.
We'll hug after this. Okay.
What, you know.
But to summarize that, just that a lot of the times, you know, the things that we feel or that we're processing, no one else is actually seeing that. And then the learning journey that I've had to go through with being an amputee is that being an amputee doesn't define me. But sometimes it's the thing that I define myself with. So Caleb the amputee, or Caleb the survivor, Caleb the shark attack survivor. Like, what are the other things that I love doing? What are the other things that define me?
Well, it's a lot. I mean, you're not going to be that when you're on the telenovela. You're going to be a TV person, a star. You're going to be a movie star. You're going to be a TV person who's doing acting roles. And the fact that you are an amputee or a shark attack survivor will be besides the point.
Yeah.
In fact, it might help them market the show. But once you get into that character, that's going to be who you are. And I think acting is the most perfect profession for you because you can play different roles and you don't have to be typecast by whatever it is that you have physically.
It's just someone taking the opportunity and giving you that chance. So going,
sure.
Okay.
And whoever did cast you in this is smarter than anyone else because it's a very, very good move.
It's definitely a beacon of hope and it gives me, it motivates me and encourages me. But you'll still have situations where someone will write you off completely before actually giving you a chance to like,
you
send a video of you walking, please. Like that kind of stuff. And I'm like,
tell that ex.
Wow.
Tell that ex to go and get fucked.
No.
All right. Tell her she can go and get fucked.
There's no exes ask that, but if one does, I will.
Yeah, you send it
I'll say Gareth Cliff's
mom.
Simpiwe
will pretend
friend.
She's interested and look at her watch and I'll chase them into the fields. No, dude, very impressed with this. You really are a phenomenal human being. It's just a great story to hear. Mm. I love, love, love the fact that you have zero bitterness, resentment, anger, and I'm sure it's cropped up, but the way that you put it at the back and you just carry on and you're looking forward and you're positive and optimistic, it blows my mind. I'm so impressed.
Well, thank you. I think it brings positive energy, right? If you send out, I know it sounds, you know,
you can say the cliche line.
It's like if you send out good vibes come back. You know, if I sit every morning and I go, well, you know, fuck this. And yeah, sorry. Yeah. I know this is a platform that I can share sometimes big words.
And I'm sure you get really, really cross sometimes.
But if I like, you know, I'm stuff this, I'm done with this. If that's the attitude every single morning, then I might as well have just stayed out in the ocean. My brother should not have pulled me out there. So I think, you know, having a positive mindset and going, okay, this has happened. There's so many things out there, even podcasts and platforms like this, where I can actually share, be myself, learn and engage, and also to hear other people's stories. You realize, wow, there's actually still a lot of life to live.
Yeah.
If anything, maybe it's slightly, it could be richer in some strange way. You know, I mean, not everyone gets to survive and live to tell the tale, but then also have their perception change completely. I mean, who would I be without having gone through this experience? I don't know. And a part of me is curious, you know, would I be just that guy that's just, okay, finishes his degree and, like, you know, just carries on and disappears into the shrubbery? Or, you know, is there, like, did this happen for a reason? Why did this happen? All of those questions will still well up. But if there's a net positive to the day, and a net positive to the psyche, and there's people there for that. There's coaches, there's friends, there's conversations you can have where, you know, I sometimes have to call a friend or a family member to go, it's a tough day today. Yeah. And I don't feel great. And they have a way. And often I know I'm speaking a lot. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. Keep going. That's the whole point. Often, that's why we have a microphone in front of you.
And you can just turn mine off if I'm
no, go.
Too much. But your perception of time when you're going through a difficult period is very narrow. So if I'm having a difficult day, I wake up. Even this morning, I woke up and I didn't feel like that great. I felt like your early morning, like, you know, there's lots cold happening. I've just
hang around these assholes.
I took the wrong turn. Who are these people? And my perception of time, your perception of time is very, very, very limited. So when I lost my leg, all that was happening was I was in hospital, drip, catheter, and like step one, step two, step three. When you can shift your perception of time, there's, you can see things with a bit more longevity. And if I didn't have people around me that were able to see, okay, it's going to be okay, one day at a time, one step at a time, I wouldn't be sitting here today, because I wouldn't have done the things I've done. And this is not me doing it by myself. I want to give a huge shout out to my family, to my friends,
man, absolutely,
and to platforms like this where people want to share stories, and you make someone feel comfortable to be themselves. I think that's also really awesome. It's a slightly longer format of storytelling, which is really epic, where I really feel like I can just connect and share thoughts that are literally forming as they share thoughts as they're forming, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've done that, and you've done it beautifully this morning. And I like that you have been able to kind of share the stuff, which I think most people would find very difficult to share, and especially even more difficult if they'd gone through what you'd gone through. It's a kind of a one of a kind experience.
Yeah.
There are not many people who can tell the story you've got to tell. And I'm sure loads of people are hearing it for the first time now and are just blown away.
And to all those people, you know, you aren't alone with the stuff that you've experienced. I think sometimes we think we're so alone, we're so isolated. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to realize, like, that you aren't, that we all go through stuff. We all have difficult days. Just because you haven't got one leg doesn't mean that you can't have a difficult day or you can't have negative emotions. In fact, feel what you're feeling, you know, allow those things to process, but then also create, if you can, structures around you where you can lift yourself out of those spaces. So whether it's having a friend you can speak to, whether it's getting, you know, having therapy, if you have access to therapy, but even something like taking a walk and turning off your phone or doing a workout, doing 50 push-ups, like, it shifts your mindset so massively. Getting into cold water, little things like that have been such big things for me, because they've shifted me out of whatever's happening inside. And then I realize, actually, it's going to be okay. First of all, I'm a human being, even though I walk with a swagger. And that life is still worth living. And we can wake up every single day and be grateful. And to all the able-bodied people out there, go for a run, you know, make the most of those legs because, well, A, you never know when you're going to
stay on dry land.
You never know when you can't use them, but just, wow, the human body is amazing. I've realized like what I've been able to do with three quarters and some technology. It's amazing to be able to walk in here today, carrying my laptop bag. That's not something that I was able to do 9 years ago.
I'm so impressed. And honestly, it's been a great pleasure to spend some time with you this morning. I'm sure this isn't the last time we'll have you on the show. I'm sure that we'll have lots of reasons to talk to you in the future. And best of luck with this project you're going to do now.
Thank you.
I think it's absolutely deserved. I'm sure you're going to shoot the lights out. Good for you.
Let's hope so.
And there's the show. There's the short film, which you got to watch. There's all the information, Caleb Beyond the Bite, and you can find out more if you go to our details here in the description of the podcast and on the YouTube channel.
And just on the film, you know, just a huge shout out to, if I can, to Wild Trust and Love Africa Marketing. They were so unbelievable in making this process possible. It wasn't like a random person walked up to me and said, "It's time to swim the sharks again." You know, there was a wonderful process that they created.
I don't think that would have gone so well.
And just, you know, the film is under 10 minutes. So, you know, watch it with your morning coffee or your afternoon snack. And what's really going to help with getting this film to other people is if people comment and share. You know, obviously, you know about engagement and how it works, but engage with the film. You know, if you like it, comments. If you don't, DM me and we'll have a conversation. But it's just, again, a privilege to be able to represent sharks as well. And to, I know I'm not in Durban, but to represent sharks in the ocean and to share this film with everyone. And it'll show you as well, like there are nerves getting into the ocean again with sharks. I was definitely nervous, but I'm here to tell the tale.
So, you can go and watch this. It's also online, so you can go and check it out there. And we will, as I said earlier, put all the details on.
And break a leg is definitely that's all my theater friends will say to me, break a leg, and then I'll stop. They'll go, "I can say that, right?" And I'm like, "Of course you can say that. I'm still an actor." So yes, break a leg.
All right, dude. Well, you break a leg. And best of luck. We love you. Very good stuff.
Big love.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
So do I walk out now?
We're all walking out.
Okay. Oh, we're all walking out.
That's a wrap. We will see you on Monday at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an awesome weekend. Everybody keep warm. Don't go swimming with sharks.
Stay on dry land.
Yeah.
But watch Beyond the Bite.
But watch Beyond the Bite.